A groundbreaking for a new elementary at YPG and cameras on ballot boxes in Yuma. This is KAWC's Arizona Edition. I'm Carmen Marquez. Price Elementary at YPG will be replaced with a new campus.
And they're like, well, what's happening to our old building? I'm like, well, they're going to destroy it and build, and you know, tear it down. And then add them going, tear it down, tear it down. I'm like, we still have a whole year left.
The Yuma County Board of Supervisors recently voted to put cameras on ballot boxes.
It's 80% of the population that are registered to vote by mail or early. So that's a big portion.
And we hear from Yuma County's high school graduates. These stories and more on this week's Arizona Edition.
Funding for Arizona Edition comes from listeners just like you. Your continued support allows us to bring you insightful conversations about issues and events impacting our community. Thanks to you, we are able to highlight the people and voices of Yuma and La Paz counties and encourage civil conversations around water, agriculture, healthcare, education, and much more. Please continue to tune in to Arizona Edition, and thank you for helping us keep our community informed.
This is KAWC's Arizona Edition. I'm Carmen Marquez, KAWC's new civic engagement reporter. Yuma School District 1 held a groundbreaking for the new Price Elementary. KAWC's Education Solutions reporter, Cisco Stargazer, takes us to the Yuma Proving Ground.
We are looking at the groundbreaking ceremony for James D. Price Elementary School. Can you make some noise for our event today?
For Arizona Edition, I'm Cisco Stargazer. It's been a long time coming. That was the feeling Tuesday morning at James D. Price Elementary's groundbreaking ceremony. And for good reason. For nearly a decade, Yuma School District 1 worked to make this moment possible. Now, with the help of an $8 million grant from the Department of Defense, the school will be replaced with a new facility.
While the road to this very moment has been long, it has been worth it.
That was Principal Alexandria Johnson speaking at the ceremony, just outside Price Elementary. Located within the U.S. Army Yuma Proving Ground, the school currently serves children who either live at YPG, have parents who commute there for work, or live in close proximity to the base. Built in 1953, Price was designed with a very small student body in mind. It has no cafeteria, and its libraries house in a portable structure that was added on later. At 73 years old, the campus contends with leaking roofs, single-pane windows, and a loud buzzing rooftop air conditioner. And that's why Christina Hall, a teacher at Price, was one of the many who said this rebuild was a long time coming.
100%. Last year we had our kinder teacher was in a portable because that whole wing was not allowed to be used because the year prior they had some rainstorms that came in and destroyed the roof and the rooms, and so they had to go to different rooms. So, I mean, the kids out here have been resilient, flexible. The teachers have been resilient and flexible. It's coming. Miss Metz was happy that she got to get back into a new room and have windows. So,
YPG Commander Colonel John Nelson recalled some of these struggles while speaking at the ceremony, too.
This has been a long time coming. This process has predated my command. I remember going through the school and we've had some rains that made things more than challenging. So they're already challenging on a daily basis, but when you get something like that where you have to react, and I want to say that I really appreciate the school district stepping in and making sure that they could bridge that gap and make those repairs. But now we're going to have a new school, and this is an excellent thing for this community. We just had the month of the military child. So like I said, this time next year, they're going to have a new school.
District 1 Superintendent Dennis Ponder explained that this project was originally approved sooner, but COVID hit and delayed everything. The DOD assessed the school more recently in 2024. Then in September 2025, the grant was officially awarded. The grant in question comes from the Public Schools on Military Installations Program, and it's provided District 1 with roughly $8 million for the rebuild, or 80% of the total cost. Seeking funding to replace a school facility can be difficult in Arizona, so we asked Ponder how common this kind of project really is.
It's fairly unique because there's a lot of schools across the country that would like or would need some additional support, and so they look at them. We had to go through a grading process to determine, you know, the severity of different areas, and it was determined that Price needed some. Originally, it was going to be a renovation, and then we looked at a renovation versus a rebuild, and it became evident that just building a new school and tearing down the existing one would save more money than actually renovating the existing schools.
The remaining 20% of the cost is being covered by the Arizona School Facilities Division in District 1. The division had committed to about $800,000 when the project was initially approved prior to COVID, but Ponder said costs have since escalated.
So we had to bring in the additional funding to make the project whole, but I mean, every little bit helps. Yeah, I think we're coming up with about 1.2 out of our own pockets, which to build a brand new school, 14,000 square feet for 150 kids for $1 million, you can sign me up for a lot of those.
The new facility will have a cafeteria, a larger auditorium, dedicated art and music rooms, and a science lab, plus upgrades for security. Currently, Price supports an average of 50 kinder through fifth grade students per year, but the new campus will support 125. When asked what she thought about the new design, teacher Christina Hall added that everything will be indoors as opposed to the current layout with a courtyard. Classrooms will be interconnected with doors, making it easier for kids to be supervised should a teacher need to step out for a moment. While she'll miss some of the school's old charm and personality, she thinks these changes are for the better. And her students are very excited.
When they saw the picture of the building, they're like, what? That's so fancy. It looks like a high school. And they're excited. They're like, okay, build it now. I'm like, it's going to take a while. And they're like, well, what's happening to our old building? I'm like, well, they're going to destroy it and build, and, you know, tear it down. And then I had them going, tear it down, tear it down. I'm like, we still have a whole year left. Little kids, they don't understand time frames and how long it does take for something to be built. So it'll be fun though for them to get to see the process of it happening, and we'll literally be in the backyard. So
Pilkington Construction Company is constructing the school and expects to complete it by May or June of 2027, just in time for the 27-28 school year. At the groundbreaking, Pilkington President Clint Harrington shared the project is personal for him and the crew.
My father worked out at YPG. I worked out here before I left to go to college. This is our hometown. This is our home base. 95% of the subcontractors are Yuma people, right? So you get that Yuma pride, that good pricing.
And a local pride doesn't stop there. The crew will be working with a mobile office on site constructed by 4th Avenue Junior High students in Dr. David Coulson's construction class. The fully functional office was transported to YPG the morning prior, and it served as a backdrop for the groundbreaking. Chris Thompson of Thompson Design Architects, which designed the school, is also proud to be working on this project.
Nobody deserves it more. Our military families are asked to dedicate their lives to serve our country. And when you're asked to dedicate our time to designing a school, just like Colonel Nelson said, this is for all you guys to enjoy. There's just so much more that we get out of a project like that.
Reflecting on the design, Principal Johnson said she's most excited about
just having one, a working kitchen so that our students will get hot lunches that are prepared on our campus. We are going to turn one of our classrooms into a science room, a science lab. So that is for all of our students to be able to experience. We have a library that is not in a portable anymore, so that's exciting.
But more than that, she's excited that the kids and staff are excited.
I think this is extremely important. I think it shows a commitment that District 1 has to the base, to YPG. I think that, you know, it's that longevity and that partnership that we love so much, and the base is so grateful, and just being able to provide this opportunity for their kids to go to school on our base versus having to go in town.
If all goes to plan, families will have some time to get to know the new school next summer before the first day of classes.
And one more round of applause for James D. Price Elementary School!
For last week's Arizona edition, we took a look at the Yuma County projects that made it all the way to the Regeneron International Science and Engineering Fair this year. But that wasn't all of the science fair work we examined for our coverage. We actually managed to hear from two Best of Show winners from the Yuma County Science and Engineering Expo, so we'd like to share those flash interviews with you now. First up, Jade Chandra of Gowan Science Academy, who won Best of Show for middle school.
I honestly feel really good that I won in county and I placed in StarSub because my project, well, first of all, I'm really proud of my project and I think I did a lot for the cause of echocardiograms and how expensive they are compared to electrocardiograms and this new AI-related research on how you can use electrocardiograms and AI to find an accurate way to predict your left ventricular ejection fraction, which is one of the core aspects of your overall heart health, for less money and a more just general accessible way. So I'm really happy that I can spread my message and my project to multiple places throughout my state and my county so that more people are aware of this and more aware of how my solution is and what my intent is for this project. So just before I did my project, I learned about how echocardiograms are very expensive. They tend to be between $1,200 and $2,000 and need a licensed ultrasonographer to take tests. So many people in rural or underprivileged communities will not have access to such a test. An electrocardiogram is a much cheaper test that they can use. So I just looked at that and I was like, so if we could take the data from an electrocardiogram and you put it into an AI of some sort, it can tell you the same data as an echocardiogram would. My goals and dreams for the future of this project are that I make this more wide scale and that I would have this AI implemented in multiple communities throughout the nation and around the world so that people can get their left ventricular ejection fraction for cheaper and more accurately.
Next up, we have Donovan Shu from Dorothy Hall Elementary, who won Best of Show for Elementary.
My name is Donovan Shu. I'm a fourth grader from Dorothy Hall Elementary. My science fair experiment was electromagnets. I was trying to test that is that the more copper coils we wrap around our bolt, if it will increase our electromagnetic field. The results were positive, as in that the more copper coils we wrapped around our bolt, it increased the electromagnetic field. The reason I wanted to test electromagnetic fields is to maybe help junkyards identify different types of metals and make their magnets stronger. My goal is to maybe hope that junkyards and other MRI machines in the hospitals to have different types of metals identified and to increase the electromagnetic field. Maybe to become a rocket scientist to maybe develop new types of metals and figure them out, how they work.
And for all the students wanting to make it far in science, Donovan shared some parting words.
Even if you don't accomplish the goal you would like to, I still believe in you and you can still accomplish anything.
Congrats, Jay and Donovan, and all the students who worked hard on their science fair projects. For Arizona Edition, I'm Cisco Stargazer, and this reporting is supported by a grant from the Arizona Local News Foundation. We'll be taking a quick break right now, but stay with us. Coming up, we'll be hearing from Yuma County's Class of 2026 and Yuma County reporter David Lara on cameras at ballot boxes. We'll be right back.
Funding for Arizona Edition comes from listeners just like you. Your continued support allows us to bring you insightful conversations about issues and events impacting our community. Thanks to you, we are able to highlight the people and voices of Yuma and La Paz counties and encourage civil conversations around water, agriculture, healthcare, education, and much more. Please continue to tune in to Arizona Edition, and thank you for helping us keep our community informed.
This is KAWC's Arizona Edition. I'm Carmen Marquez, KAWC's new civic engagement reporter. Yuma County High Schools held their graduations Friday night. KAWC's Alexandra Rangel recently spoke to some graduates on their campuses before the big day.
Just trust the process. That's like the only thing, because everything will work out in the end. You just have to trust the process.
These are the words of encouragement Amias Davis has for his fellow classmates in the class of 2026. Friday marked graduation day for most high school seniors across Yuma. Over the past several weeks, we've been speaking with seniors ahead of graduation about the next chapter in their lives. For some, that next step is college. Some students are motivated to pursue a passion, while others are focused on career paths that will help pay the bills. As we spoke with students from different schools and different backgrounds, one thing became clear. They're all still discovering their path. and figuring out where life will take them next. Here's what some students had to say.
My name is Carson. I'm a senior and I go to Gila Ridge High School. I'm excited and not excited. There's things to look forward to and, you know, things I'm leaving behind.
And you're deciding to stay local here at EWC. What drew you to that?
I think saving money a lot is good. Obviously not having to move so early. I'm planning to move to California, so it's going to be very expensive. So it's good to stay here and save money, stack cash so I can afford rent and gas and everything in San Diego.
Oh, yeah. What are you planning to major in?
I'm getting my EMT and like paramedic certification to become a firefighter.
Nice. What motivated you to do that?
I have a lot of family members that are in it and friends.
As for Carson's message to his fellow class of 2026,
just keep working. Don't give up on what you want to do.
Giovanni Santiago Servin Gonzalez. I'm a senior at COFA High School. It's scary, honestly. Life just is life in, you know. I was thinking about joining the Marine Corps, yeah, until the whole conflict. And then I was like, it's not really my place to go and potentially take someone else's life because, you know, the presidents can't get along. Changed my mind to firefighting. That's always been my thing since a young age, just trying to help out others, just do the most I can for others, and eventually that'll come back to me. Class of 2026, anything's possible as long as you put your mind to it. No matter what's happening in your life, just set your mind on a goal, and if you really want it, it's going to happen. Just, it'll take time.
My name is Darlene Chavez, and I am a senior at Gila Ridge. I feel happy. I'm glad that I get to go to ADOC so I can do ceramics, because that's my new obsession, ceramics, everything ceramics, all in my mind, 24/7.
Will you be going into the arts field?
Well, I'll be doing, I'm like majoring in biology, but like arts in the side, you know? I want to do like veterinary. So yeah, helping cats, helping dogs, all that.
Darlene's message to the graduating class.
Never give up. Keep your chin up and never give up.
I'm Nathan Brito. I'm currently a student at Gila Ridge High School. I'm graduating 26. I'm pretty excited. I'm excited to hopefully go to AWC. I'm hoping to eventually find a job in being a travel agent. I'm hoping to get my general eds done and then move on to hospitality.
What's a dream country you want to travel to?
I would love to go to Italy. I think it's a cool place. I love the vibe of it.
Nathan's message.
I would say try your hardest, find what you want to do.
I am Audrey Barron. I go to Gila Ridge. I definitely am scared. I've been wanting to go like into college for soccer and sports, but I've been kind of like shifting back and forth because of like just money decisions, financial, to see if I'm ready or not. I want to study engineering. I think I've always just like wanted to build stuff, and like I'm very hands-on. When I was younger, I just loved playing with Legos as well. I just loved building stuff.
As for Audrey's message to her fellow classmates,
do your work, even if it's annoying, boring, or hard. It's like, it'll all pay off. It will.
On behalf of KWC, congratulations to the class of 2026. We wish you all success in whatever comes next. For KWC, I'm Alexandra Rangel.
The Yuma County Board of Supervisors recently voted to install cameras on ballot boxes throughout Yuma County. KAWC reporter Victor Calderon spoke with Yuma County recorder David Lara about what that means for voters.
What they passed was the approval to have the required surveillance by cameras, specifically the drop boxes only.
About how many drop boxes are we talking about?
We have 7 drop boxes.
7 around the county?
They're out.
Where are these mostly located?
Libraries.
Okay, only libraries?
No, actually, at the recorder's office, we always have a drop box outside and inside. Okay. Although this year, because we're having the early voting, the old board of supervisors, so we're gonna have them over there. This is the first time we're gonna have, because it's too small here, so we're using that facility.
Okay. In your opinion, what was the reason behind this measure? I understand there was some concern over ballot harvesting.
As a recorder, by statute and the election procedures manual, those drop boxes have to be monitored 24/7 when they're not in the sight of staff.
So how soon could this happen that the cameras, because I know like they probably had to be ordered.
What happened, I was at that meeting. I guess there's some confusion or miscommunication, and I understand how people can think one thing and when it's told the other. The boxes or the cameras, the libraries, they've always been there before even I was elected. So this is nothing new. The election day that I have nothing to do with those, the vote centers on election day, that I only do early voting and the drop boxes, election day, that's the election department.
I know there was like, there was in San Luis, there was some talk about the library drop box there. Was there an agreement on that, or was that going to be removed, or where were you with that?
No, so this is all the libraries.
Okay.
This is all the libraries. And that's what the agreement was, mm-hmm. to reset them up at the libraries. They're going back with the proper surveillance cameras, monitoring the drop box only. I understand that the public could be, I guess, misguided, or they may get the wrong idea. So these cameras are not to monitor the parking lot. These cameras are not to monitoring how people vote. These cameras are not set up to witness or view who's coming in and out of the library. They're not in a position and will not be recording any vehicles or license plates. None of that. It is only the drop box itself.
So as you were saying, they're kind of zoomed in on just the
drop box itself, correctly. And I have to do that. That's actually, it's been going on for many years. And that is for the safety and security of the ballots themselves, the drop box and the ballots. It's also for the security and safety of the voters, and also for the staff when on election night, as soon as they close, they have to retrieve all the ballots that are in there. And it's also for, people get passionate. It's also for their safety and well-being.
You said there were 7 locations. Are these the only locations, or are there other locations?
That is it.
Okay. So the one in San Luis will still be there?
Yes.
Okay.
All the libraries.
In Somerton, Welton, yes. I think, maybe?
Somerton, Welton, the main library.
San Luis.
San Luis.
And then the Yuma libraries?
Yuma libraries, correct. And then here, because we have boxes, like the inside, okay. And then outside.
Yes. Do you know about what percentage or ballpark of like percentage of Yuma County voters use the drop boxes beforehand?
The people, the 120... it's about 125,000, because the numbers change every day. Mm-hmm. The voter roll, the people that are registering, some people are leaving, so it's about 125,000. It's 80% of the population that are registered to vote by mail, or early. So that's a big portion.
Do you find that that's more now, or you know, compared to like last, you know, previous years, as far as
it's,
you know?
It's maintained about the same percentage.
Do you think it's just, you know, convenience, or maybe like during COVID, I know people were...
Convenience. It's convenience, right? It's mostly convenience. People just got used to it, and they're using it.
So I know some Republican, like even state lawmakers, have said they want to do away completely with ballot boxes. Where do you agree with them, or do you think they're necessary for whatever reason?
The ballot drop boxes... when you look at the mailing system, the mail-in ballots, this is my personal opinion.
Sure.
And really, it doesn't matter what I like or don't like. I have to follow statute, I have to follow the law. And so my opinion really doesn't make a difference, I believe. But people got used to voting by mail when it's really easy to vote early. There's 27 days. So people can come here and vote in person. Or if they are sick or if they're out of town, then mail in the ballot. So having a drop box, I know that even though it's convenience, I really don't see the necessity, because it doesn't matter if people live any part of the county. Everybody goes to church, they go shopping, they go to the doctor. So they're coming into Yuma often. And with 27 days, I mean, it's pretty simple.
In closing, is there anything else you want the public to know? You said, you know, there's a lot of misinformation out there, but again, the cameras.
Oh. Well, yeah, the cameras, I know everybody's worried about surveillance and their privacy. This is completely opposite of what was only discussed in the meeting, the cameras that we're using are actually used by, if it's not all the school districts, just about all of them, for instance, AWC has them. So they're already in the schools. People are getting video, kids are already getting video because they're being used in schools. Like I said, AWC, businesses, there's cameras everywhere. I mean, you can't avoid it. You go to a restaurant, there's a camera. You go to a bank, there's
Walmart,
a camera.
Walmart, you know.
You go to Walmart, exactly. You can't avoid it. So I know this could be confusing where people think that we're recording them and then what are we doing with that information? And it's completely, it's not correct.
I know that the rule is people can take their own ballot, like drop off their own ballot, right. And then people in their immediate household?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
And then up to like five, I think, or how many? Do you know about how many? Like what's the limit of like how many ballots they can
take?
Well,
if it's from your household and you have 10 family members, okay. In a household, as long as they're from your household.
So just immediate household.
Right. And if the person is at a retirement home, then the health care provider can actually also handle the ballot to take it to the post office or a Dropbox. Mm-hmm. So there's mechanism is there for okay. Family, the immediate family or caregivers to help out the vote.
Yeah. Do you know about how long this process will take? Will the cameras be up for this upcoming election?
Oh, yes.
2026?
Yes, that's correct.
And then is that money coming from the county? Like there's a county fund?
No. When I first got elected as a recorder, I don't know if you remember, I mean, it was an article in the news, and I submitted a request for election security and equipment training. So I received, this is from the budget, the state budget. And I received $1 million for expenses like this. So this didn't come out of the county budget.
Okay, and then in closing, is there anything else you want to say about what your office is doing in terms of the elections coming up?
We're following procedures. We're trying to make it as easy as possible for people to vote. There isn't anything people have to be worried about or concerned. It's business as usual. We're just trying to make it as secure. We're trying to eliminate any doubt. You know, it's passionate elections. Sometimes people get really passionate. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I also have to make sure is that people have the confidence and the trust that the elections are being the early voting part, because the election day, like I said, that is another department that's out of my hands, that the early voting process is as secure, confident, and sure that as possible. And I'm giving it my best shot. I think I'm doing, actually with staff, we're doing our job. And I want to make sure that people trust that when they send in their ballot, they're confident sure that it's going to be counted correctly and safely.
All right, David Lara, Yuma County Recorder. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much, partner.
KAWC's Arizona Edition is a production of KAWC Colorado River Public Media. Questions or comments are welcome. Send them to azed@kawc.org. Our theme music was used with permission and composed by Stephen Hennig and performed by members of the Yuma Jazz Company. More information at yumajazz.com. Past shows and podcast information is available online. Just visit kawc.org for more information or search Arizona Edition wherever you get your podcast. You can also take KAWC wherever you go. Just download the KAWC COFA app and the listening is in your hands. I'm Carmen Marquez. This is KAWC's Arizona Edition. Thank you for listening.